Well, we're probably at, I guess, the pointy end, because we've done many years of crossing now. We've got tens of thousands of seedlings that have probably about two-thirds of the way through evaluation. So we've still got, you know, tens of thousands of trees to look at. But the ones that we have evaluated, we've found many good sort of superior selections, we're calling them. Those superior selections have now gone on to what we call a tertiary phase of evaluation, so in very large plantings at three different sites along the almond growing region, along the Murray. So that, those tertiary plantations were just planted last year, so they'll come into production by 2016. So with those plantations, we'll get a real very high accuracy of determining their potential yield on a grower's property.
And you were looking, basically, the aim of the program is to see how you can make the non-perennial better or find things that are better than the non-perennial. So what specific traits are you looking for and trying to develop?
We're trying to develop high-yielding varieties, so something that will out-yield non-perennial. You know, we're sort of aiming for 10%. We're also looking for self-fertility, to alleviate, you know, if varroa mite does come in and decimates Australian beehives, then a self-fertile tree will help alleviate partly that problem. Disease tolerance we're looking at. We do some bacterial spot assays to detect, you know, who's more tolerant than who. Non-perennial is actually reasonably tolerant, so we're trying to get better or as good as non-perennial.
On the self-fertilising trees, how much of a genetic change is that for a tree? Because I guess they've been pollinated by bees for so long. So, I mean, where are these traits coming from, really?
The self-fertile tree was found naturally occurring in Italy, and the Italians discovered it. The French then used those trees as breeding parents. Then we have used the French progeny from their breeding programs and used their better selections, I guess, with the self-fertile gene, and introduced that into our crosses, crossing with nonpareil, crossing with Australian cultivars, crossing with other European cultivars as well. To try and get that gene into something that looks like a non-perennial.
And is it the same for the other traits? I guess looking around the world at what exists naturally and breeding that into trees?
Yes, some of the older varieties, particularly from Europe, are tolerant to certain diseases, so we try and incorporate those into the program as well. Other cultivars have very high high levels of flavour, high levels of sweetness, and we incorporate that as well. And obviously shell hardness is one thing we're looking at, because the paper shells do have that problem with the open seal that lets, you know, fungus and bacteria in, and water, which can discolour the kernel. So we've bred a lot of hard shell varieties with non-perennial to try and get something a little bit less papery.
Now, you touched on the timeline before. The big plantings you've got in the ground now won't be in production till 2016. So what kind of dates could growers expect to have access to some of these traits and these trees?
The five that we've put into tertiary evaluations, we're hoping that the buds will be available in 2016. So the mother trees have been produced. Those mother trees obviously have to get to a certain size before you can start taking buds off. So I think realistically 2016.